We rejoice that we have the privilege to learn to be equipped. Revelation knowledge is gifted us as we study. The eyes of each one's understanding here flooded with light. Clarity upon clarity as we learn your word. Thank you for these men and women of God that you have strategically positioned to influence their world with the truth of Christ. So I pray that as we learn, at the end of this class, we'll be the better for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. All right, let's get into what tonight. Week 38, what Bible teaching is not, part two. What Bible teaching is not, part two. Wow, I tell you, what a meeting this night we had in that place. Thank you, Lord. All right, let's get running. The objective of this class is to show Bible teaching as a vital ingredient in leadership and to understand what Bible teaching entails and what it is not. That's the same objective we gave you last week. The teaching of Scripture is the definition of doctrine. The teaching of Scripture is the definition of doctrine. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The word Scripture refers to what is written. What is written. It is a fact that these are words inscribed in the pages of the Bible. It is a fact that these are words inscribed in the pages of the Bible. A book which explains itself. A book which explains itself. It should be read and understood. It should be read and understood. Ephesians, the third chapter, the third verse and the fourth. Ephesians, the third chapter, the third verse and the fourth. Pastor Susie, are you seeing a vision or something? The way your eyes are kept, it's like you're seeing a vision. Please make sure you share that vision with me when I finish this class, this teaching. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So it was written to be read. And you know, Jesus harped on this fact of reading. He harped on it big time. Matthew 19, verse 4, and he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? He said this severally. The term read, it means to view. The term read means to view, mentally capture and appraise words. Mentally capture and appraise words written. To mentally capture and appraise words written. This implies that a teacher must read and have his audience read too. The teacher must read and have his audience read too. In 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, the 13th verse, he said, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. 1 Timothy chapter 4, the 13th verse, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. He said this several, severally. Through Bible teaching is study. Through Bible teaching is study. It is not waiting at the speaker's table or stable for mind-numbing, high-sounding words called revelations. Mm-mm. It is not waiting at the speaker's table or stable for mind-numbing, high-sounding words called revelation. It is reasoning with the scriptures, which produces understanding. Reasoning with the scriptures, which produces understanding. Reasoning with the scriptures, which produces understanding. Bible teaching or teachers must avoid playing to the gallery. They must avoid playing to the gallery, using mere oratory to wow the listener. Using mere oratory to wow the listener, and if and sometimes even giving the listener false hope. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 and 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, sorry. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 and 4. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Verse 4. And my speech and my of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of spirit and of
Papa, power. Your voice has gone really low.
Are you serious?
Yes, very, very low.
Okay, I changed it.
What's happening? Is it high now?
Okay, it's good now.
You know, when it goes low, that's a good place to be, because Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always." I am with you always, man. All right. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Scripture must be well explained in very clear, and painstaking fashion. Scriptures must be well explained in very clear and painstaking fashion, not a noise making like a theatrics dilly dally. No. Bible teaching is no circus show or magical art. This is often applied by heretics who quickly point to results and self-testimony. It's heretics who do all those sharp. Bible teaching is serious work. It's not a circus show. It's not magical art. Romans 16:18, Brother Paul will say to the church in Rome, "For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good works and good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the sick." So it is important we must not get in the way of people's understanding by feeding our audience a testimony diet. It is important we must not get in the way of people's understanding by feeding our audience a testimony diet. We must stick to what and who the scriptures reveal, and that is Christ. We must stick to what and who the scriptures reveal, and that is Christ. Romans chapter 16, verse 25 says, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began." So it is already laid and founded. The Christian faith is already laid and founded. We must not innovate. 1 Corinthians 3:11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So he wants in verse 10 that all must take heed to build upon. We must take heed to build upon that foundation. In 1 Corinthians 3:10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builded thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. In Matthew 24:24, "For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, in so much that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Signs and wonders accompany the gospel when preached, but they do not produce an understanding of the message. Signs and wonders accompany the gospel when preached, but they do not produce understanding of the message. The teacher must appeal to understanding, not emotions of his listener. He must appeal to understanding, not the emotions of his listener. Hence, the ability of the teacher to refute and present unassailable explanation. The ability of the teacher to refute and present unassailable explanation. In Titus chapter 1, verse 9, he said, holding fast the faithful word as he had been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. He is able to convince. And Brother Paul did that convincing work in Ephesus, Acts 19, 8 and 9. Acts 19, 8 and 9. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing in the school of one Tyrannus, the teacher of the word, just like Jesus did in the four gospels. He's making convincing discussions. The teacher is making convincing discussion by the way of clear reasoning and explanation. Convincing discussion by the way of clear reasoning and explanation.
Papa, we can't hear you very clearly, sir.
And explain. Apollos in 24 and 25. Again.
My papa, sir, we missed what the sentence you just said just now.
But can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you now.
The teacher, just like Jesus did in the four gospels, is making convincing discussion by the way of clear reasoning and explanation. No esoteric explanation. Let's see a picture of these two Apollos in Acts 18, 24 and 25. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. The first and vital ingredient is his grasp of scripture. He must quote copiously the scripture. A preacher of the word must quote copiously the scripture and be diligent in explanation. Be diligent in explanation. Another key element which has seen is the ability to receive more information. Another element which has seen is the ability to receive more information. Note that Apollos knew only John's baptism, even though his message was Christ. He knew only John's baptism, even though his message was Christ. Teaching ministries grow eventually. Teaching ministries grow. Acts 18, 26. Acts 18, 26. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of the Lord more perfectly. They explained more to him. He kept learning. Verse 28. 28. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. Please don't miss that. Showing by the scriptures, not by vision and dreams, not by prophecies, by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. His explanation improved, but his two remain. Talking of Apollos, you know, scriptures, not foreign materials, scriptures and scriptures alone. Because the ministry must only be founded upon the written word. The ministry can only be founded of the remain. Scriptures, not foreign materials. The ministry must only be founded upon the written word. And if you observe, Apollos later became a renowned teacher later on. Because in 1 Corinthians 3:6, Brother Paul will say, I have planted Apollos water, but God gave the increase. God gave the increase. He is able to transmit information appropriately via adequate explanation. He is able to transmit information appropriately via adequate explanation. Remember, in Bible teaching, no gray areas. The teacher's aim is to produce maturity. The teacher's aim is to produce maturity. Colossians 1:28. Colossians 1:28. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. So his message must never lose its focus. His message must never lose its focus. It must never shift to the speaker, but the word, Jesus Christ Jesus. The focus must never shift to the speaker. In 2 Corinthians 4, 5, it says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Not us, but him. Not my story, but his story alone. Not my story, but his story alone. You know, the meal for spiritual development must remain Christ. That's the meal. It's no rocket science. It's Christ. Ephesians 4:13 and 14. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sly of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to this. Bible teaching is not storytelling or testimony proclamations. Bible teaching is explaining and reasoning the scriptures to behold Christ. Explaining and reasoning the scriptures to behold Christ. And the speaker of the Bible must be faithful with these provisions. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, Brother Paul will say to the church in Corinth, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. He must understand he holds the mystery of God unveiled. Faithfulness here implies consistency. He must never change his focus because of his audience cravings. He must never change his focus because of his audience cravings. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, 2 Timothy 4, 3, Brother Paul said to Tim, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers with itching ears. So a teacher of the word must be faithful to the message, loyal to the message. And Brother Paul recognizes this in his instruction to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:2. 2 Timothy 2:2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also the same. So if we only follow the instruction of the apostles, our explanation of Christ may differ in depth, but never in information. If we follow the instructions of the apostles, our explanations of Christ may differ in depth, but never in information. We will not have the cacophony of noises abounding today called personal revelations. Scriptures authorized to introduce to authorize no individual to have a unique or personal revelation. Yeah, he might understand in levels, but must never see scripture away from what is written. He might understand in levels, but must never see scriptures away from what is written. He must never see scriptures away from what is written. You must keep teaching the same things, the same thing. There's consistency in truth. The character of truth is consistent. Anything that starts changing is a lie. The guy may understand in levels, but must never see scriptures away from what is written. Praise God. All right, that's it from me today, guys. Today is very brief because I want to sleep now, because tomorrow I'm preaching very early. I just wanted to make sure we had this class, no matter what, because I miss you guys. Anytime I don't do class for 2 weeks, it's like I miss you forever, man. You know? So that's why I came to this class, by fire, by thunder, by force. And I'm glad I see everybody, and everybody looks happy. Everybody's smiling, except those that their passports are on their profile, and the passports are not smiling. Otherwise, everybody's happy. God is good. Father, thank you for this class tonight. Thank you that grace abounds. Thank you that we have sufficiency. sufficiency in all things. Thank you that we're kept, we're preserved. Thank you that ministry is growing big in the hearts of each everyone here. You're equipping an army of men and women that will preach this gospel. Preach this gospel. And preach it with power, with confirmation, with signs and wonders. Harvest everywhere. Men and women responding to the truth of Christ. I pray that each one of you is strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. You are kept by Christ, preserved by Christ. I decree that you have all the things that pertain to life and godliness. You enjoy the comfort of the Holy Ghost. You walk in the light. You walk in love. And above all, you're an effective witness of Christ. And in the name of Jesus, I decree that each one here is totally comforted by the Holy Ghost. So I decree that there is no limit in this class. Great men and women rise out of here that will manifest the glory of God in these last days. I give you praise. Needs are met, sufficiency for everyone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me give you the following question for your test this week. Question number one. Describe a true Bible teaching. Describe a true Bible teaching. Describe a true Bible teaching. Question number two. What is the meal for spiritual development? What is the meal for spiritual development? Then give reasons. Give reasons. Question number three. Highlight ingredients of Bible teaching discussed in this class. Highlight ingredients of Bible teaching discussed in this class. Let me go over the questions again. Question number one, describe a true Bible teaching. Question number two, what is a meal for spiritual development? Give reasons. Question number three, highlight ingredients of Bible teaching discussed in this class. All right.